we fail to view all life as sacred. I think that's one of the reasons that we have, because joy escapes us. You know, the man on the street and a lot of church folks neatly divide what is sacred from what is secular. It's sacred to write a hymn, but it's secular to print the hymn. It's sacred to sit in a church, but it's secular to build a church. It's sacred to preach about Christ knocking at the heart's door, but it's secular to paint a picture of Christ knocking at the heart's door. It's sacred to sing in a choir, but it's secular to sing in a bathtub. It's sacred to pray for the sick, but it's secular to cook a meal for the sick. It's sacred to sit in a service, and it's secular to sit in an office. We, you see, divide life into two categories, that which is sacred, holy, spiritual, and that which is secular, unholy, natural, common everyday things. In regarding the ministers, you know what they say about us? We are full-time Christian workers. You see, even the church divides me from you. I'm in a sacred work, you're in a secular work. And I believe this is one of the reasons that there's a lot of loss of joy in our lives. How much of your life is spent in doing what is known as the ordinary? The dull, the routine, the monotonous, the commonplace. Probably about 95% of our life falls into that category. I haven't gone on any new adventure in a long time. I haven't done anything new on Monday, and I don't know how many Mondays. Now, I don't know about you, but you see, my life is about 100% wrapped up in the same old humdrum every day in and every day out. I'm in a routine. And I think there's a big leakage of joy that comes from the everyday duties of life. So many people said, man, I've had it, I'm fed up, I'm sick and tired of this same old mess every day, I'm through. You see, when a guy says that, I can say one thing about him. Hey, fella, you're not happy. You know, there's something that happened to your joy if you're just calling it quits and you're ready to split. Do you still get a charge out of putting your socks on? You say, man, no way. Women, do you still get a charge out of picking up your husband's socks and putting them in the washing machine? No way. If I hadn't made up the bed in a month, you know, if I make it up, come nighttime, we mess it up. Come morning time, I make it up. Come nighttime, we mess it up. Man, that's a mess. Just leave it alone. You look at the same thing. Why vacuum the carpet? You walk right back over and get it dirty again. Why wash the dishes? You get them all dirty. It's just a vicious circle. You can't make any headway. And so a lot of women say, I got the answer. I'm going to work. And they walk out and leave it. But they got to come back home to it. Then they got a new routine, you see. Going to work every day and come back home to the mess that they got to do something with. But they say, I don't find any joy now in going to work. You still get a joy out of fighting the traffic? I never do get a joy out of it. It's the little things of life that rob us of joy. You get a joy out of brushing your teeth 3 times a day? Man, you say, I get tired of it. Let them rot out. just let them go. Well, everything, you see, falls into an area of what we would call drudgery. No matter whether you're a housewife or a man that works in the office, even a preacher, no matter what occupation you take up, the little things of life just get to be so monotonous that they drive you up the wall. Life lacks excitement. And I'll be honest with you, I get so sick and fed up with television, I'm going to do with it. And radio, man, it's the same old songs every day. And I get tired of listening to them. There's no adventure in life that's new. There's nothing really new that's accomplished. Because you see, the commonplace is just simply, to most people, a very boring thing in life. And as long as you feel that way about the life you live, I'm going to guarantee you something. Jesus can't make you happy. No way. No way. Because he's not going to take you out of the humdrum situation. He's not going to give you automatic bed making machines. He's not going to give you automatic house cleaning machines. He's not going to take and change all your environment that you might have a new adventure and something new to look at and something new to do every day. I said a while ago, sometimes the only way that people feel like they can maintain their sanity and to regain some degree of their lost joy is just to flee the whole scene, walk off and leave it. You have a lot of husbands that just can't take it and walk off and leave their families. They've had it. And that's tragic. There's no joy in that. Then there is a problem of guilt if you do that. Joy suffers when you cease to enjoy doing things that you have to do. When you develop a what's the use and I don't care attitude, then the misery set in and there becomes a hopelessness in your life which you have to face every day of your life. I want to say this, unless Jesus can free you of your boredom with the ordinary, then it's going to be impossible for you to have the Jesus joy. It's going to be impossible for you to have full joy, which Christ promises His people, unless somehow He can free you from that stigma you have as a result of the ordinary. Now, there's no joy in telling you tonight, well, just grit your teeth and bear it. There's no joy in that. Or there's really no joy in telling you to quit and throw in the towel and put up stakes and get out. There's no joy in that. Look at John 10:10. Look at John 10:10. If you have a Bible tonight, Jesus said, I have come. Why? He came for a lot of reasons. He came to save sinners. He came to be a king. Yeah, He came to teach us about God the Father. He came for a lot of reasons. But I want to give you one more tonight. I have come that you, or that they, that the people that follow me, might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Now, Jesus wants to give us more than eternal life in heaven when we die. Christ says there is a life that I want to give you now that reaches the category of being abundant, wonderful, joyous. I have the best life that is possible for any human being upon a sinful earth to live, and I want my people to have this abundant way of living. He's saying there ought to be a fulfillment in your life that brings continual joy, a fulfillment that comes from doing the very ordinary humdrum things that every man has to do. I think about old Paul. It's my understanding he on this hand he had one jailer handcuffed to him, and on this arm he had another jailer handcuffed to him. And you talk about daily routine. There he was. Couldn't take a stroll. Locked in that old prison dungeon. There he was. I'd get old quick, folks. Now, did Paul lose his joy? Not that I can understand he did. Did he get bored with life in jail? Not that I understand he did. What's his testimony? Well, look at Philippians, the first chapter, verse 20 and 21. Philippians 1, 20 and 21. He goes on to say, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that I'll not be ashamed. That is, be ashamed of Jesus. Be ashamed to follow Him. Here I am locked up for His sake. I'm not ashamed of that. But that with all boldness is always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Then he goes on and says, for me to live is Christ. My life is abundantly joyful because my life is the life of Christ. Man, I don't understand that. That's weird. That's deep. What are you talking about? Well, let's go on. Look at Galatians 2.20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. What do you mean you're crucified and you live? The old man's dead. There's a new man. Got a new life. Yet it's not I that lives, but Christ that lives in me. And the life that I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Then one more, Colossians 3:4. Paul says Christ is our life. Christ is our life. In the abundant life, Jesus does something in your life that automatically changes the ordinary into something wonderful. Jesus can find a joy in the smallest things of life. He can find joy in the routine of an everyday activity. And if He becomes your life, then you too also have this ability to find joy in the mundane things of life. If He can do it, He enables you to do it. And I never read where Jesus got bored with doing the Father's will, much of which was healing folks day in and day out, teaching the same message day in and day out, walking those same old stony roads day in and day out, dealing with those same old disciples day in and day out. But somehow Jesus never got bored. And that's the kind of life that Christ says, I give my people. It's an abundant life. You rise above the ordinary, and the ordinary takes on real delight. He lives within me, and His power abides within me. I want to say this, if Christ becomes my life and your life, no part of my life is secular. None. All of life becomes a sacred adventure. Everything takes on a holy atmosphere, a supernatural involvement. Look at 1 Corinthians 10:31. Therefore, whether you eat, you ever get tired of eating? That's one thing I haven't quite got tired of yet. Therefore, whether you eat or whether you drink, now, no matter what you do, do everything to the glory of God. Everything. Even taking off your socks to the glory of God. Do everything. Nothing's more mundane than walking and drinking and eating and sleeping. Do everything. Look at Colossians 3:17. And whatsoever you do, whether it's in what you say or in what you do, no matter whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Give God thanks for the routine. No matter what you do it to glorify Him. I want to say again, Christ alone can bring joy to the ordinary and the dull and the monotonous. Do all, every activity. Everything involves Christ working in your life. Now I want to say this. Everything that you're involved in is your calling. Everything is your calling. There's not the will of God for you at 9 o'clock and then He skips to 12 o'clock and then He skips to 5 o'clock. The will of God involves 24 hours of your daily activities. All of that is the will of God. All of God's will involves work, and all of God's work involves a call. You are called to a ministry of every activity you do. I don't care what it is. Every activity has eternal value. Every second of your life will be eternally judged by God. Every bit of it. What you call secular, God says for a Christian there is nothing any more secular. Nothing. Everything that's an activity that you are called to do is a duty that God lays upon you. Every activity is to be rendered and seen as a service that is given for and to God. Everything. Therefore, every activity is an act of worship towards the Lord. It's also an act of fellowship with the Lord. I am the Lord, type the letter. I am the Lord, vacuum the floor. I am the Lord, clean the house. I am the Lord, play basketball. I am the Lord, get dressed. I am the Lord. Everything is a connectional activity. You see, Christ is your life. He's involved, therefore, in everything you do. Now, if Christ calls you to do it, then everything you do has worthwhile value to it. I don't care how small it is. It has worthwhile value to it. It can bring glory to God and is redeemed as a service in his sight, worthy of reward in heaven. Not only do you see, you find yourself cleaning the house that belongs to Christ. That's his house. Somebody has to take care of his property. It's not your house, it's his house. You gave it to him. You're not only, though, you see, cleaning the house that belongs to him, but you're cleaning the house with him. Not only that, but you're doing it that he might be glorified. And I'll tell you how he gets glorified in just a minute. If every activity is a calling, then there is a requirement placed upon every activity for it can glorify God. What is that? It must have quality. It must meet divine inspection. And folks, that's where the joy of the mundane is found. Not in having to do the same old thing, but how well can you do it? How well can you do it? You know, God's laws that pertain to what's good and what's just and what's honest, what's fair, all these laws apply to your everyday activities. And these laws are to be applied to make it a thing that is worthwhile and a thing of great beauty in God's sight. There is joy when you hear the Father say, when you have completed a mundane task, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." There is joy as you step back and just look at a job, trivial as it may be, that's been well done. I think one of the present day robbers of joy in the Christian's life is the shabby work that he turns out in the name of God. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. I hear people talking about the day of the real craftsman's gone. That's sad. And that's one of the reasons there's sadness in man's heart. You know, we go to the store today and buy things thinking we're going to have to take it back because it's a pile of junk. You hear a man talk about his new car, it's a pile of junk. Don't make them like they used to. You got that right. But you don't know the folks that put that car together, do you? No. Do you like them? No, sir, I don't like them. Man, what a mess. And you can go around and find all the sloppy work they did. I don't like people that put things together and throw it together and I end up buying it and having to take it back. I don't like people do that. What if you do that? Here again we get back to this old matter of if you don't like yourself, there can't be any joy. A bad self-image. Do you do that kind of work? If you do, back in your subconscious, part of you says, "I don't like you. Man, you're a lousy craftsman. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You can't take any pride and joy in that mess." Now, part of you doesn't like you, and that'll kill your joy right there. Look at 2 Timothy 2:15. 2 Timothy 2:15. "Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needs never be ashamed." Not only of rightly dividing the truth, but be ashamed of the work he does once he learns what the truth is. Do it right. Do it good. And do the best you can. Because that's the way Christ's life does it. He never did anything in a bad way. And again, I want to say it's a joy to sit back and look at what Christ has inspired your mind to produce and the excellency of craftsmanship that you do it. You can take delight, women, every day in a bed that is well made, that looks very attractive. There's a joy in there. You ought to see how I make it. It's a mess, you know. It's like it's not even made, you know. Just throw it on there. There's no joy in that. I know some women get great joy out of their home looking so neat. That's great. It should be. That's not only an honor to your husband and a thrill to him, but that's a glory to God. That's part of your work. That brings him glory that you take such care in it. But he has a part in that. And I'm going to say this. I believe God will give women like that ideas how to decorate the home and fix it up and make it a gem to look at. A place where the husband wants to come and stay at night instead of running around. There's a lot of advantages having Christ as your interior decorator helping you out. He can sure give you a lot of good ideas. Now, during the Middle Ages, Christians who were craftsmen, you know what they'd do? You know, like if we went out and laid a sidewalk, no matter how poorly it was done, somebody come along and we'll scratch in there our initials or our name, put the date. Like, whoa, we're really proud of that work. Well, some of the sidewalks that I see with names scratched in them are horror. But anyway, in the Middle Ages, a craftsman would not sign his name to a job. Say he built a chimney. In the mortar, he would scratch the initials IHC, which are a symbolic name for Jesus Christ. He built a house, and somewhere in that house, on some board that may be covered up, he would scratch IHC. What was he doing? He was saying this house was done with the help of Christ. And in this house you see perfection at its greatest possibility in the builder. I did the best I could by God's help. And this work is worthy of Christ's brain. My goodness, isn't that craftsmanship? And that old boy could walk by that house every day and look at that chimney. And there was something to the glory of God. Today you walk by and 3 weeks it's falling to the ground. I wouldn't want to stick Jesus' name on that. That's not the kind of work that Jesus does. You know, nobody tells a Christian to do what I'm telling you tonight. Inside of him, there is a joy that comes from doing a job good. He takes pride in his work. Most of you know I do some printing on the side. This is one of the real problems that I have. You know, today some people say, oh, Barry said, I'm a perfectionist. Like that was a disgrace. You know, some folks go around saying, he's just a perfectionist. Well, you ought to be. You really ought to be. I hope I get a hold of a car someday that's built by perfectionists, you know. You ought to be a perfectionist. That's what Christ wants. Then you're proud of what you do. But in printing, sometimes you'll turn your back on the press, you know, and it'll do things it shouldn't do, like it starts putting ink where it shouldn't want to put ink, you know. And well, if you keep your back turned too long, there's a lot of paper goes through that thing. You look over there and you say, well, that's about $10 worth of paper. Maybe the customer don't care. I'll just pass it on. Put the good stuff on top. You know, like strawberries, they put the good ones on top and the bad ones on top. That's what a printer will do. You put the good copies on top, get down at the bottom, you got the bad copies. And the Lord said, is that the kind of work that I turn out? And I said, Lord, it's $10. I don't care if it's $500. Junk it. Christians don't print that kind of stuff. I don't put out that kind of work. You can't take no joy, first of all, in the work you're doing, and you sure can't take any joy in charging the guy a full price for a pile of junk. So what do you think about that? So I junk it. But when it's all said and done, I look back and I'm pleased. I don't care if anybody else is pleased. I'm pleased. And I'd like to put IHC on everything I do. Not sure I always can, but I'd like to. There's a joy in the Christian because everything he does is not secular, but it's sacred. Well, you can't take joy. You can't glorify God. You can't say, a Christian built that with honor if you haven't done it good and right. In other words, because of Jesus, I do what's right. I do a good job. I do a thing well because of Christ in my life. And when I do it, folks, Jesus gives me a joyful satisfaction. And that's where a Christian gets some of his joy in life. Regardless of how trivial and minor it is, there is a joy that comes from God that says, you did it well, and I'm pleased with it, and I like it. And when you know that and you sense that in your spirit, there is joy that you have pleased the Lord. I want to close by saying this. Upgrade all of your life's activities, no matter how small they are, to the level of a calling of God. And then when you do that, you'll be in full-time Christian service, where you really ought to be. Father, we're thankful tonight that you can enable the everyday activities of our life to be a source of continual joy. We'll only let you control us. And we'll only cooperate with you to make it a thing that's worthy of your brand upon it. Father, may we see every activity of our life as one that is sacred and none being secular. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.